There was a woman that was waiting with her husband. He'd been in and out of a coma. She'd been right there by his side and during his hospital stay. And that was characteristic of the devotion that she had for him. And she wanted to be there if he woke up, and one day he did. And he motioned for her to come to his side, and she realized he wants to tell me something. And he whispered to her, his eyes full of tears, "You know what? You've been with me through all the bad times. When I got fired, you were there to support me. When my business failed, you were there. When I got shot, you were right there by my side. When we lost the house, you stayed right here. When my health started failing, you were still by my side. You know what?" And she leaned in, and her heart just full, said, "Well, what, dear?" He said with a smile on his face, "I think you're bad luck." That's a terrible story, I'm sorry. But it does reveal some truth. And here's the truth. That every family is going to face stormy times. That's the harsh reality. I want to read again that text that Tucker just read for us. Jesus said, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Two builders, two homes, two different foundations, but the storms hit both of them. No family is exempt from the rains and from the storms that come. How is it that one home will stand fast and one will be destroyed? And I'm not talking so much about physical structures, though on the Gulf Coast we're fully aware of what rains and winds can do with these hurricanes. I'm not talking about the physical structures, I'm talking about our families. How is it that some families seem to weather the storms and while others crumble? Jesus says the difference is in the foundation. But I want us to focus on some external factors that can hurt our families. And I want to use Jesus' terminology here to represent some things, to represent these external factors. For example, when you think of the rains that come down, perhaps we can think of the culture in which we're living. It's kind of like the rains. Just as the rains soak everything in sight, the culture permeates our home, our society, our families, our marriages. So the culture is much like that rain, that soaking rain. And there are forces in our society that work against the family. There are some who are bent on destroying the family as God has defined it and planned it. Let me give you some examples of the reins of culture. There's confusion. Take the question, what constitutes marriage or what is a family? And society gives so many different answers. There's common law marriage. There's gay marriage that's been legalized. And I used to be able to say that only some states had legalized it, but now it's throughout our nation, as you know. And so there's so much confusion in the world about what does family mean? What does marriage mean? But God says God designed marriage for one man and one woman for life. You go back to the very beginning, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And that's God's definition of what he intends for marriage to be. But that's not what you'll hear in the world today. turn on the television, you go to the movies, you see almost anything in the world today, and this definition is blurred. It's obscured. It's destroyed. And with all this confusion, it strikes at the very foundation of what God intended our homes to be. There's sexual immorality. And folks, it's not just homosexuality. For many, that's become the hot button issue. It's been that way for several years now. But there's still the sin of premarital and extramarital sex. And that's just as much sexual immorality as homosexuality. And those things strike at the very foundation of who we are and who we should be in our families. And you have voices out in the world, such as one psychiatrist who says that in my practice, I've been particularly struck by how many women have been able to use an affair to raise their consciousness and confidence. That's the world's value system. And it goes directly against what God says. Hebrews 13:4, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. But again, that's not what we're hearing in the world. And our families suffer because of it. There's materialism. Trying to get more and more. We're working so hard to make ends meet, to enjoy a certain socioeconomic level. And we're so pulled apart that our families are struggling. When the scripture says all along, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And folks, many of those sorrows are the fact that our families are disintegrating because the emphasis has been placed on material things. There's individualism, and that's rampant. It's the idea of, I'm going to live for me. I'm going to do my own thing. It's all about me. And folks, you fill in this blank. Blank is the greatest single enemy of a happy marriage. I pose this question many times in talking with couples that I'm about to do their wedding ceremony. And I ask them, you fill in that blank for me. And there's many answers that have been given, a lack of communication. Conflict. But I lifted this quote from a book by Paul Faulkner and Charles Bukin, What Every Family Needs. And the word that they use is selfishness. Selfishness is the greatest single enemy of a happy marriage. Bill Mayer wrote a book, New Rules, and in it, he wrote, among married people I interviewed for this book, those most devoted to self-fulfillment are having the most trouble in their marriages. And should it surprise us? If I bring selfishness into my marriage and into my family, and it's all about me, you can see how that's going to create a wall between me and the rest of my family. See, this is the reins of culture. It's the kind of culture we live in. And how do we respond to that? I love what Paul says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Phillips' translation states it, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. Our culture is raining on us. It's the culture we live in. It's one of the storms we weather. A second one is the crises through which we live. Perhaps these can be represented by the floods that Jesus is speaking of that are combating against the homes of these two builders. In all of our homes, the floods of adversity. It's interesting that in the Psalms, David uses this idea of floods to describe his state of mind as he's going through some struggles. Let me give you a couple of examples. Psalm 69, 1 and 2, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I've come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut its mouth on me. You can see his imagery is he's overwhelmed in whatever circumstances he's facing at the time. It's like it's flooding and he's up to his neck in flood waters and he's crying out to God, deliver me. Some of you can understand that imagery all too well. You've been through the floods. You may be in one now. You may feel like you're treading water. You don't see how you can make it. Floods are devastating. It may be an accident, a bankruptcy, a cancer, rebellious child, prolonged illness, a tragedy, grief, losing your job. And at this point, many, because of the floods that come into their homes, many will just walk out. I can't handle this. Well, how do you handle it when your life has been flooded? I think the key is commitment. In Psychology Today, it contained a cover article entitled, Why Marriages Last. And you know what these psychologists discovered? As they interviewed couples that had been married for long periods of time, over and over, they kept hearing this answer. It's commitment. After 35 years of marriage, one woman said, you can't run home to mama when the first sign of trouble appears. One who'd been married 20 years, commitment means a willingness to be unhappy for a while. It means you stay regardless. I preached a funeral Friday for the cousin of Pop, Omer Oglesby's cousin, James Oglesby. I heard his son-in-law, one of his sons-in-law, Dwayne Wentworth, get up and say this about his father-in-law. I saw a man that stayed committed to Elaine through good times and bad. By the way, they were married 53 years. He went on to say, James set a great example for me as a very young man. Listen, that commitment wasn't always going to be easy, but it was going to be worth it. That spoke to me. The commitment isn't always going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. The way that we weather the floods that come is we have this mindset that we're in this together. Whatever comes, we're gonna stick it out. The way that we survive the floods is, number one, we got to learn to lean on God. He's the only one upon whom we can lean for that support that we need. But we also find strength in leaning on one another. And what a tremendous blessing it is to have someone to share your burden. You see, when you have a crisis that's flooding your home, you really have two options. You can either walk out, or you can walk through. A lot of people walk out, but those who are committed to their marriage, to their family, they walk through together. I love this song John Lennon wrote. Mary Chapin Carpenter also sang it. Grow old with me. Grow old along with me. Whatever fate decrees, we will see it through. For our love is true. God bless our love. God bless our love. There's some fatalism in the wording there. I recognize that. And I don't believe in fatalism. But I do believe we're all going to experience floods at times. And also believe that in order to survive it, we have to have this attitude. Whatever we face, we will see it through because our love is true. So the culture reigns, the crises flood. We also have to deal with the changes with which we're living. Let that be represented by the winds that blow and beat on our homes, our families. The winds of change. And the fact is that each of us is always changing. Our relationships within our family are always changing. Well, he's not the same man that I married. No, he's not. And nor are you. We're all changing. The key to successful marriage, successful families, is that we grow together. We navigate the storms. We grow together. You will change in the life of, in your life, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. Have you noticed that your body is changing? Somebody said marrying for looks is like buying a car for the paint job. Think about that paint job. It begins to crack and peel. I saw a cartoon of a grumpy old couple, both bulging at the waist, but neither of them cared much about their physical appearance. And this picture in the cartoon shows this woman bent over a stove frying an egg with no makeup on her face and curlers in her hair. And an equally unkempt husband is behind her with a picture of their wedding picture. And he's pointing at the woman in the picture and pointing at her and said, "What have you done with this woman?" We change. It's a fact of life. Elizabeth Elliot wrote a book, Let Me Be a Woman. No, I haven't read it. But she said this, so I'm told. The fact is, your provider may someday lose his job. Your strength may show unexpected weakness. Your knight in armor may experience a public defeat. Your teacher may make a serious mistake that you warned him about. Your lover may become a helpless patient, sick, sore, sad, needing your presence and care every minute of the day and night. This isn't the man I married, you will say. And it'll be true. But you married him for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. And those tremendous promises took into account the possibility of radical change. That's why the promises were necessary. Alexandra Nelson was married yesterday in a private ceremony. If you know Allie, you're not surprised by that. Married Edward Robinson. They repeated these vows. And as I asked them to repeat after me, I couldn't help but think, do you understand what you're saying? Are you really making these promises? Because change is going to come. And that's what makes the promises necessary. Every marriage, every family is going to face stormy times. It may be the rains of culture that are soaking us and seeking to destroy us. It may be the floods of crises that make us feel, again, that we're in the floodwaters up to our neck and we don't see how we can survive. It may be the changes that come. But Jesus said, one man built his house on a rock. The other built his house on the sand. What is that rock that enabled the man, his house, to withstand the storm? That rock is Jesus. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it stood. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Build your life. Build your family on the rock. We'll talk more about this next week, but it's the key. It's the key to withstanding the rains, the winds, the floods that are sure to come. We take our stand on that rock, as Jesus said, by hearing and doing what he said. And he wants each of us to be a child of God. He wants each of us to accept the offer of salvation that he made possible through giving himself on the cross for our sins. He wants us to put our trust in him and confess our faith, to turn from sin, to be baptized into Christ so that our sins can be washed away, but so that we can be born again into his family. That's what he wants. And then he wants us to continue to live for him, to put him first in everything, to continue to make sure our lives are built, our lives of our family members are built on the rock because the storms are coming. And it may be that you want to replace the foundation of your life on that rock. It may be that you're going through some storms and need the prayers of your church family. If that's the case, please come right now as we stand and sing.